Hello and welcome to the Council of Moms, where we share ideas and perspectives and have a good laugh, because motherhood is the most serious thing that shouldn't be taken seriously. Also.
Oh, I love that.
That's a perfect one.
Thanks. Yes. The Council of Moms, because our kids have us all figured out, but are still shocked that we would still ask them to take out the trash every single time it needs to be taken out, weeks and weeks in a row. True story. Council of Moms, a meeting that truly could not have been an email.
Thank you.
Thank you. And as always, the Council of Moms, made with real moms. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark. I'm a real mom. And I also play one on TV. And I ooze motherhood, I guess. No, I don't know. But I have five kids, ages 17 to 27, at varying levels. They're all different. And I was just thinking about that in preparation of recording this Council of Moms. I was just thinking, isn't it interesting how I have five such different individual human beings? And that actually is one of the best surprises for me of motherhood that I've really, really enjoyed. So that's a little bit about me. Also here with us for the Council of Moms, we've got
Julie Swazzo. Hi, I have just turned the beautiful corner into my 40s, and therefore I've become, and I have teen children, so I've become the super uncool mom.
Just congratulations.
Been really fun.
Welcome.
Yeah. Welcome. My daughter, who is 14, she said to me, she looked at a picture of me, and she's like, hey, mom, like, were you really fun when you were young? Like, I'm fun now.
What are you talking about?
So that's what's tough about my life right now. My parenting is super fun. I have five kids ranging from 16 to 2. So we're just in the thick of it over here.
Amazing.
Trying to keep it fun and cool.
Hey, moms. I'm Juhee. I'm a pediatrician by the day, parent coach by passion, and a mom 24/7 of a teen daughter and a preteen son. And they are so vastly different that I'm not only that their genders are different, but their personalities are different. So I'm just feel like there's always balls in the air and I'm just juggling between not only them, but my work and career. But I'm loving it and I'm laughing through it.
Amazing.
I'm Whitney Call, and I am a mom of three young boys who are very close in age, 9, 8, and 7. So it sometimes feels like they're all the same, but they are definitely not. And we're just trying to keep their names straight while also giving each of them individual attention, while making sure that they have brotherhood, while making sure that they each know that they are special, but also contributing and
part of a family.
We're just balancing it all over here.
I love it. So clearly we've all got it figured out. And I'm going to jump into our question for the Council of Moms. As always, we love getting your questions. If you DM us on Instagram of Council of Moms, we will read that question and it could pop up on a future episode. So please leave your questions. We love them wherever you're listening to the Council of Moms. Here's the question. Hi, Council of Moms. I'm a dad.
Ooh.
And this is my question.
Hello, Dad.
Nice.
I've noticed that my kids are always trying to get my wife's attention constantly for stuff that I know they can do. If they're hungry, it's like, hey, Mom, will you make me a snack? They're old enough to make like their own sandwich, by the way. If they're tired or bored or whatever. And I don't know why they don't come to me with this stuff, but they don't. She and I will be at dinner and her phone is blowing up with our kids trying to reach her. But nobody's texting me. I feel bad for her. She never gets a break from the kids, even when she's not with them. I don't know how to help. What can I do as a dad to help my wife get the space she needs? This is a sweet question, right?
Wow.
Yep, here we go. Thanks, Dad. Like, kudos for recognizing it of like, because I think sometimes you feel like it, like, you know, he's right there. What it like, but yeah. you have all the answers or you're the authority. And I get that. What's your advice? Mm. What do you think, guys?
I applaud this dad for this question because I think this is such a relevant question. And so many moms are feeling it, but not saying anything. Yeah. And I feel like so many dads are noticing it, but also are not, you know, bringing it up. So this is a very interesting question. And I think it is, it's kind of the need of the mom to feel seen mm-hmm. and supported. And a lot of it is mom's just the go-to, you know? Mm-hmm. I yeah. don't know if the kids also specifically think of it like that, but it's just that maybe moms are around more. And so when they're not there, that mom's still the go-to person. So they don't, yeah. they're not thinking of texting dad. So maybe to turn the corner on it, if dads would be kind of like a little bit more aware of this scene yeah. in the home, and I understand, you know, they might be out more, and as they enter, they may not know what is happening, because that happens, like, in my house sometimes. And I feel like I know it, I've got this, I don't need any help, you know, type of thing. But my husband would feel like, well, but how can I help, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no, it's okay, I got this. And I'm just putting too much pressure on myself, and dads mean well. And so part of it is, you know, moms to be able to give that opportunity to dads as well. And something that has worked in our household is kind of planning it. So, you know, taking a Saturday morning off. Mm-hmm. And it's like a planned, structured morning off, so you don't feel guilty about it. No one's feeling like bad about it. I think that's also huge, because moms, just us being moms, we feel guilty taking rest.
Yeah.
We feel guilty out of the picture. Trusting and delegating is really key, I think, to get the meaningful help.
And I feel like delegating needs to happen like from the onset. And I know I've mm-hmm. brought this up before, and I'll bring it up again. If we talk about fair play, we talk about balancing the emotional labor in our home. That means it's not just randomly saying, oh, could you get this task? Like, each partner, what we do at least is that, you know, if you are in charge of meals, it doesn't mean, honey, can you cook this meal tonight that I came up with, I shopped for, I got all the ingredients, can you cook it? It means that that person comes up with the meal plans, they go shopping for the ingredients, and then they cook it. Like, it is conception and planning and execution, right? You do all three steps. Otherwise, you are still taking on so much mental load. And so if we know ahead of time, okay, like right now, it's summer, we have a lot more meals to plan with our kids. Who's going to be in charge of weekday summer meals? And who's going to be in charge, you know? And I think when we have that balance and we mm-hmm. both feel like it's fair, I feel like there's a lot less resentment, because we can then just say, like, I don't know, ask your dad. And I can send mm-hmm. them over to him. Now, we are in a privileged place where both Stephen and I work from home. And so we have equal amount of time with the kids usually. But what was interesting to me was when this dad was saying they know how to make a sandwich, because I feel this in my bones, because I have started having boundaries with my kids where I'm looking at down the road, do I want to make their school lunches for them every single day for the rest of their schooling, because they're old enough that they can do it? And if I'm like, yeah, I'm okay if I do this right now, then I can do it. But if I'm not okay, and if I can see, like, wait a minute, my kids are actually starting to get kind of lazy about this, and they're starting to rely on, then I've started saying, no. Like, I give them enough time. And what we've done is we'll have ways to help them sometimes with some of these tasks. Like, for their school lunch, we've put up a diagram on the inside of our cabinet that they can look at. And it has options that they can pick for their main meal, for their treat, for their, you know, their protein or whatever. And it gives them ideas so that they're not just floundering. what I've noticed is that my husband has lower boundaries than I have.
I was going to say the same thing, actually, Whitney, because I feel like this is a little bit of a boundaries issue on the mom side. Like, I think it's wonderful that the dad is, like, really trying to check in and is aware of what's happening. But I think it would be great for the dad to step in and say, I think maybe I'll teach you how to make a sandwich. Let's figure that out. Don't worry about mom. How about we do this, right? And I think that, like, sometimes we choose it as a love language.
Yeah,
and then we run that love language out, right? And like,
just food is my love language. I love to feed the people that I love. Like, I want to do that. So, like, that one in particular, I was thinking, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll make you a little sandwich, or I'd make you this. Until, like, one day, I'd be like, make it yourself, you know? Yeah. Whereas I would think, like, especially when my kids were younger, my late husband would be like, I'm not making you a sandwich.
Yeah.
And he would feel 0% guilty about that or want to do that, which is his prerogative, right? Like, as a parent, and it's my prerogative as a parent to parent kind of the way that I want to, as long as they don't clash, right? Like that. And I that's why I like what you're saying, Whitney, of like, you just have to like own your choice or your boundary.
Yeah.
And there are different ways to express love. There's different ways to express those boundaries. But I do like this question, and then that they're checking in with each other, because the dad is saying, it seems like the kids are crossing the line.
Yes.
That they're asking for so much. And we don't know how the mom in this question feels. If she's like, oh, no, I love it. It's so great. I love feeling needed. This is why I want to be this kind of mom. Or if she's like, yeah, it drives me nuts. Like, everyone needs some alone time.
Yeah.
And you've got to, you know, you don't know what that negotiation is between a couple. And I do think that that needs to be acknowledged, too. Like, even though, like, now I'm solo parenting, right? Like, I don't have a partner, and my husband is gone, and But I still feel like his influence, and I certainly did when the kids were at home, like, felt like you do that together, you know, you don't just do it independently, and that the strength of like a family, also you have to acknowledge that, like, that partnership between a mom and a dad, and whether you're divorced or you're married or you're solo parenting, like, you kind of have to acknowledge what the other person in the equation, in the family, like, their wishes as well. And I think sometimes we don't talk about that.
Yeah, for sure.
I think, though, like, I mean, they're talking about, like, them blowing up her phone the entire time they're out to dinner. I mean, the simple response is, like, the phone isn't present, right? Like, so my question is like, are you maintaining? Because I realized my kids would come to me every time there was a fight. And the reason they would come to me over Jake is because I would negotiate with them. So I was navigating, like, what do you feel? What do you feel? And I would go, see, he feels this way, and he feels this way. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm not even allowing those two to negotiate alone. And I was stepping in. And of course, they would come to me because they received an answer. They came to me because I gave them this, or I made it. And so the third person in this equation are the kids, right? Like, what Whitney's talking about. The equation is like, are they first being able to acknowledge their own needs and meet some of those needs? And maybe it's just empowering your wife that goes, I think that if we start letting them make sandwiches, or like, if we let them kind of work this out, that we actually will be developing them as humans. And I will happily go and teach them how to do that. I would love to go and
that's a solution.
Teach them how to do it, right?
When it says, what can I do as a dad to help my wife get the space she needs?
Right.
Like, that is a solution. Like, be a united front.
Yeah, be the teacher. Go in and do those things.
The dad and the mom, they come together and say, this is what we're going to do. Like, what do you want? And she's like, I'll help him, but just like with this. And what do you want? As the dad says, well, I'll help him, but like in this space. And then you are a united front against the kids. Because the kids will just ask for everything. Because that's what kids do. That's their job, right? They're going to ask for all the things all the time.
Yeah.
Because they
don't
know.
I want people to make me a sandwich now.
So if you're kind
That's part of the growing and the development of the brain of the kids as well. If you work as a team, mom and dad work as a team, then you're empowering the kids. And the more empowerment they're getting, whether it's learning how to make a sandwich or finding their, you know, lost, you know, whatever, they are processing that information and trying to get aware of, okay, well, let me problem solve first, depending, of course, on the ages of the kids.
Yes.
And if I'm spending like a couple minutes solving the problem, it's not being solved, then maybe I should approach an adult. And that will give them like a guideline of like when to text mom if she's out and not. And in the same breath, they're going to learn to become responsible adults, you know, step by step in that approach.
Juhi, do you know what like some timelines are? Like when is times to start feeling like they can do that?
age-wise? No, it's, you know, like a one-step command can be learned as young as like 4 or 5 years of age because, you know, it's simple things. But sometimes we're dealing with like teenagers where like I'm reiterating again and again, because it's summer, please load your dishes. You know, it's like, okay, we've done this over like 17 years of your life. So if we start young, yes, that would be, you know, give them simple things and then go on to like, summer is a great time to actually start this because, you know, like making sandwiches during summer, that can carry through the school year. And, you know, they're going to have to process like, what ingredients do I need, you know, right from grocery shopping to is this stuff going to be refrigerated or not refrigerated, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's many steps that they don't realize that as kids that, you know, we have to do. And once they start doing it, they also appreciate their moms more. And, you know, then the texting does go down for sure.
My kids have learned how to manipulate that because they'll be like, well, I know I can do it, but I like how you do it. You do it so great. And you're like, wait,
they're
what?
Right.
I do.
They're right. Every anybody making you a sandwich tastes way better. Salads and sandwiches made by other people just taste better.
I know. It's so true. I also think that it's a great opportunity to just, again, like show your parenting cards and say, part of what I want you guys to leave this home feeling like you know how to scrub a toilet. You know how to make some simple meals and take care of yourself. You know how to like clean a space and live in it and manage your time with a job and taking care of the house. Like these are important skills. So you've got to practice them here. And this is part of it. And I would love to show my love for you in lots of different ways and helping you. But I also don't want to rob you of these really great experiences so that when, you know, you see all these like memes and reels, don't you, about how kids like are calling their parents from college being like, how do you wash clothes? Like, how do you start a washing machine? How do you, like, just the basic stuff. And so I think, like, having a running dialogue with your kids can help as well. And especially in this question of saying, like, hey, I'm going out to dinner with your dad. And I just, we're talking, so I'll see you in an hour. Settle down. Like, you know, like that kind of respect for time and things like that, you can say it explicitly to your kids. I think they can understand a lot more because they're a little bit more empathetic, I think, at an earlier age than we think they are.
Yeah.
I think a good jump in too from dad isn't a bad idea. Like if somebody goes to, mom, I don't know where to find my coat.
Yeah.
Dad goes, I can help you. Let's go figure it out. Right? Yeah. Like, let me get that. Jump in when you see it. And then the relief is already there. She doesn't even have to make the choice. You know, if that's what he's really desiring, it's like, you're seeing it. You're obviously thoughtful enough that you sent in this message, which is incredible. So like, if you, you know, see a need, feel a need.
I also think as a mom, like I won't speak for this mom, but I know for sure it's hard for me to let go of things when I know I can do it quicker and better. And so
oh my gosh.
Yeah. when,
I feel like we need a sound effect, like there's a big bell and the in the Council of Moms, like ding, 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 ding. Like I know the right way and the better way.
Like if my kids are making a sandwich, but then like I find a bunch of bread chunks in the jam jar. Do you think I want them to make the sandwich again later? Like, no. I'm like, I'll just do it. Or if I constantly have to tell them after they've done something, you still have to clean it up. You still have to put it all away. You still, like, I'm so glad
that's
you did
your
chores.
That's part of making a sandwich.
And
is
you have
away.
To put the vacuum away. Yeah, exactly. That it's just like, if I'm like, oh, it's too many steps, I'm going to have to keep on them until they complete the whole thing. And that's annoying. And it's not going to be clean. It's not going to be done the right way. They're going to complain later.
No.
I'm just like, I'll just do it. And so for me, I sometimes have to check in internally where I'm saying, okay, first off, is this a big enough problem that I think we need to address it right now? Because these people, these little people are being so entitled that I feel like this needs to stop now. Then do I have enough time to be patient with whatever the results are? And do I care enough to help them see it through all the way? And that, to me, when I'm getting annoyed, I will then get into, I hate the word nag. I feel like it's a way to make moms feel bad. But
it's my life.
It's my life. But I feel like there's a difference between like, hey, you need to put the dishes away. You just made a sandwich and you need to put that away. It's not clean. You didn't clean your dish. You know, it's like there's a difference between that and coming in and being like, hey, like you made that sandwich. That's great. Hey, there's still some dirty things on the table. Can we pause what we're doing right now? Can you come with me to the kitchen? Because I have one kid, his ADHD. You tell him multiple steps, it's gone. Oh. It's gone. Yeah, it's gone. It's like, you know, I mean, following steps for him, it is like he's 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And so I do have to break it down. Otherwise, it's just whoop, all out the other ear. And so I feel like for him, it's helpful to then be like, hey, could you come with me and I will show you what needs to be done and I will encourage you while you're doing it. Now, do I have the patience to do that all the time? No. And so sometimes I'm going to make the dang sandwich. And if it's okay in that moment, it's okay in that moment. And it just depends like am I okay with the price of admission right now? Am I okay with the pains that it costs me in this moment to either make the sandwich or not make the sandwich? And if I'm not in that mindset, I think it is helpful for my husband to remind me or vice versa. Like if I can see that Steven actually is getting really annoyed and frustrated with the kids and he's bending over backwards, playing every single game they ask him to play and doing every single thing that they want him to do, I will sometimes step in and say like, hey, like, do you want a moment to not have to do this with them? And because sometimes I think we don't even realize, like, we're being the martyr. We're doing it all. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I step in and I'm like, hey, do you need a moment? And if he's like, yes, thank you. I'm like, no, I'm not going to take it. I'm just going to tell the kids that they got to do it themselves. And it's like this reminder of like, oh, that's right. Like, I can ask that. Yeah. So sometimes I think that when you have that buddy system, you can also remind each other like, oh, we don't need to do that.
Juhi, I'm wondering if there are some developmental markers for us to keep in mind as moms, with your experience as a pediatrician, that could help us like answer this call of you know how much space the kids need and when it's doing things on their own versus asking for help.
Yeah, so you know, the brain definitely develops. Our kids' brains are developing up until they're 25. So that is something that we have to really keep in mind, because sometimes like my teenagers, they look tall, they look like adults, but I'm like, but like, that's obvious, right? But then I have to remind myself, well, they are still kids. So that's really been key in my parenting. And, obviously, you know, when they're like preschool age, that is something that they're going to go through an emotional, you know, they have little bodies and big emotions sometimes.
And so
that is really important to think of during that age. Elementary school age, they are processing, absorbing a lot of information. They think they know everything, but they're still, again, you know, learning new things, new ideas. So it's as adults, it's important for us to remind ourselves to remember that the brain is still forming and developing, and the frontal cortex is where the decision-making process happens. And that's being, you know, developing based on the experiences we are giving them and their environment is giving them. So working together with, you know, your partner in team is really, really key. And sometimes I will say, extrapolating on the discussion we just had, that sometimes it's hard for us moms to delegate to even dads. And so, you know, that also is an important reminder, in addition to the kids, you know, for us also to be a little bit more lenient in delegating things. And for dads, if there's a pile of laundry sitting somewhere that is found, then, you know, help is always welcome. So so that's just it's teamwork, like you said, Lisa.
Appreciate that. Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Juhi. Thank you for sharing that. And also, like, I feel like I need to be an advocate and speak out to those of us who are doing it by ourselves too. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have to, you know, raise kids on my own when my kids were little. But during like some big transitions as teenagers, and it's hard doing it alone, like, and not having a partner. And I just want to acknowledge that in the Council of Moms, of like it kind of like melts my heart a little bit, like reading this question, to be honest, of like, I just, you know, I want to help as a partner. How can I help my wife? And I'm just like, oh yeah, that's how this works.
Yeah.
Like, it works really well if you have a partner. And for those of us who don't and are doing it, I think just acknowledging that it's okay to take time for yourself. It's okay to take a deep breath. It's okay to have some, like, you know, you're taking care of your kids' needs, and a lot of the other stuff is just stuff you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay to give yourself a little break.
Yeah. I think it's also really important to realize that, like, our kids need the influence of other people. So whether you're doing solo or not, like, for them to have, like, people that are sweeping in and kind of do it and turn over some of that stuff, like, they need that. They don't – and there will come points, especially with your teenagers, where they're not really interested in your voice. Yeah. Right. So, like,
and they're much more interested in someone else's. Yeah. And if it's somebody that you trust, then that's the way to do it.
So invite those people that are willing and that are there and that are going to fill in the, you know, the gaps that doing it by yourself.
That's a good point. And that's totally in the spirit of Council of Moms. So thank you so much for you guys for being here and sharing this idea and perspective, because I do think this is something that we don't talk about, you know, very often. But boy, what an important part of parenting, in like how you parent in relation to, you know, your partner and the other people that love your kids, and asking for that kind of help and negotiating together and not just trying to do it all, you know, all on your own or your way, has a lot of benefits for your kids. So thank you so much for being here. If you are listening to the Council of Moms, hop on over to YouTube. You can see what we look like. You can see us making faces at each other, which is so entertaining. But you can listen to the Council of Moms wherever you get your podcasts. And please share this episode with another mom, maybe with your own council that you're either putting together or that you have long established.
Or your husband.
Or your husband. I love it. I know that. There's some dads. And shout out to those dads that are listening to the Council of Moms. It will make you be a better dad.
Oh, yeah.
I stand by that. And please send us your questions. You can comment here where you're listening, or you can message us on Instagram. We read all of the messages. We would love to know what's on your mind. What are the things that you're talking about and thinking about, or that we're not talking about enough? That's what we talk about on the Council of Moms. It's a production, the Council of Moms, of BYU Radio. Thank you for being here.